through 4:2, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth not. And that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be as stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And of course, blessing and cursing, again, promised through that manifestation of God himself to Israel and to the nation as he was discerning when and how much of his revelation he was going to give to them. Father, again, we come to you in prayer. We come to you with such thanksgiving for all you've given us as you have revealed yourself to man, even changing the manifestation of yourself and changing your dealings with man, not according to because you are changing, but because man continues to change, and his change is always for the worse, and yet you continually bend and fluctuate in both mercy and grace so that all men might have the opportunity to be saved. And we thank you for all that. We thank you for the manifestation of yourself. And now that we, in this dispensation, have the full revelation of you all in one book that we can carry with us everywhere we go, we can measure all things by it, and we've been blessed simply by faith without the works of the law. Father, we thank you for so much for all this, and most especially, of course, for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to pay for our sins, the perfect sacrifice, that he that had no sin died for us, that we might have the life of God in us. Amen. Brethren, I'm going to go ahead and red dot the room, and then we'll get right on with it, okay? So as we've been looking at this revealing of God to his special nation, the people that he had called out to be a holy nation unto himself, Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And of course, as God was about to give Israel the law, and welcome, Brother Don, welcome, as God was to reveal himself to Israel and to give him, not only him reveal himself in that cloud and fire, the manifestation of himself there, but also, you know, in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17 there, you've got the 10 commandments of the law that the Lord gives us there and gave to Israel back there. And as he gave that law showed his very righteousness, his very holiness, all the glory that he had in himself, as revealed to us again in Romans chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, that within that law, God again was revealing all his very glowing righteousness, and how, of course, through his law, his judgments, and his ordinances, through that very law, God was giving us a revelation of him that was going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, both in judgment, in ordinances, in grace and mercy, all, again, in the revelation of himself. But he was doing it according to, as he understood that nation could understand at that time. And then he was going to measurably reveal himself, or himself to them, according to their faithfulness, or in other cases, according to their unfaithfulness. And so as he declared that he was going to do this, we see here, even in Exodus chapter 19, verse 9, I just remind you that as the Lord revealed himself both to Moses and to Israel, at this time, a lot of people don't recognize this very fact. Verse 9, Exodus 19, 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that word that, purpose and intent, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Looky here. God says that he's revealing himself here on the mountaintop that the nation would believe that what Moses is telling them, not only then, not only right then at that specific time, but throughout eternity, according to the gospel of the circumcision, of course, according to the word of God, rightly divided, until we come to the Apostle Paul, when God reveals a whole new dispensation, a whole new administration, a whole new economy, whereby, of course, we come to know the Lord through so much more grace and mercy, through so much more revelation, as Galatians 3, 1 and 2 tells us, that we have so much more in the revelation written down that we can read and believe in it than we would have even as we were to witness the crucifixion of Christ ourselves in the physical realm of things. So we have so much more, of course, and so often as we go through the study here, I like to make these comparisons through what God was doing in the dispensation of time past, what he's doing now in the dispensation of but now and then again in the ages to come, and the fullness of time. So as we look at this, I remind you all that God, again, as he was going to meter out his revelation of himself to both to Moses and to those people, and that Moses was going to be the one to reveal God to the nation Israel, there were times shortly coming up as the nation Israel lived faithfully to the things that God was showing them, you know, even as he promises here in Exodus 19:6 that whole nation was to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God was going to give them a taste of some of the blessings that he was going to work through them. So that, brothers here, Numbers chapter 11, verse 17. Numbers chapter 11, verse 17. By the time you get, just as Israel is leaving out of Sinai and going into Kadesh Barnea, Numbers, boy, I'm having trouble with these pages here. Numbers chapter 11, verse 17. Notice here what we got going on here. We'll start in verse 16. Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. God's going to give the nation Israel a taste of how he was, that he was going to use all of them, all of that nation for priests and kings and a holy nation. Verse 16. Numbers 11:16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. God's going to call out these 70 men. 70 men that Moses himself had chosen out, both to show themselves to be elders, to be faithful, and to show the very faithfulness of that nation. And I will come down and talk with thee there, talk with Moses there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burdens of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone, and say thou unto the people. And then he goes on. Notice, God here is going to use 70 others of the elders of that nation as he does that. It's, again, it's a prelude of the very use that God's going to use that whole nation, both as priests and kings in the nation, and to be part of the holy nation. Verse 25, and the Lord came down in the cloud and spake unto him, unto Moses, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Again, you see here is God not only has been revealing himself, revealing his truth, revealing his revelation to Moses, here the whole nation is going to get a taste that God would use that whole nation, the whole faithful nation, in the same way. And so, as these 70 elders were going about to proclaim all the things of the word of the Lord as the Spirit gave it unto them, there were two of the elders that remained in the camp as the 68 others went on up into the, close to the mountain. There were two of them that remained in the camp. And as they remained in the camp, notice that they that were remained in the camp, a typology of that nation going out to the world, and yet still some of them remaining within the nation, they also prophesied in the camp, it says, but there remained two of the men in the camp. and the name of the one was Elad, and the name of the other was Medad. And Medad, you know Medad. I got Medad, and you got your dad, right? Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp, as a typology, of course, of Judah and Levi staying within the nation Israel to remain there and prophesy of the things of the Lord so much later in the revelation given unto us. And verse 27, and there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. All of them, right? All of that nation, of course, that's part of the revelation that comes yet so clearly through the Scriptures, as we will one day see revealed in that nation on the earth. But here again, as we're looking at all this wonderful revelation of the Lord and as we're looking at so many of the things that the ways and manners in which the Lord was revealing himself both to Moses and that nation, you know, a lot of people say, why are you spending so much time on this issue of the fire and the cloud? And again, as we look at these issues here, we're looking at how it is that that fire and the cloud, both in the fire could be a blessing and a cursing to that nation, and the cloud could be both a blessing and a cursing to that nation. Go over here to Leviticus. Go over here to Leviticus chapter 10. I'm sorry. Go over here to the Numbers chapter 12, verse 8, and I'll show you why I'm going through these issues. So often in these studies we've been having here in the Old Testament survey, I like to use so many of these typologies, so many of these typologies and others. I'll show you a verse here that shows us that these were one of the ways in which God himself revealed himself to Moses and to that nation. Notice here, even after that which we were reading there in Numbers chapter 11, where others in that nation went out and prophesied, over here in Numbers chapter 12, verse 8, Numbers chapter 12, verse 8. Notice, verse 7, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. Look at it, not in dark speeches. He's not speaking something to Moses in a dark way that the other believers and the other people of the nation Israel would not understand, but of course in light here. And he says, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Here in the passage, of course, Miriam and Aaron were jealous of some of the things that the Lord was doing with Moses, and so the Lord is going to rebuke them for that. But he talks about this similitude of the Lord, that the Lord was revealing himself to Moses and to that nation in similitudes. So what I've been trying to do here is to use the Scriptures, to use the process and the very learning techniques of the Lord himself, both in typologies and allegories and similitudes, to show how you can use the Word of God and you can come to understand these similitudes as you follow them through the Scriptures, study them, Scripture with Scripture, spiritual with spiritual, life with life. And so here we go again. As the Lord's been revealing himself in a fire, both to the nation Israel, that fire could be a blessing to the nation Israel, and it could also be a cursing. It could be used for the chastisement of Israel. As we had studied this issue before, we went through the through the typology or the similitude of how even the darkness, you know, how that darkness that God had shown Israel, that he could be a darkness unto them, just as he was going to be a darkness unto all the unbelieving nations, that we, even today, in the dispensation of the grace of God, we can go to Romans chapter 1, where the people were in unbelief, and they chose to dwell in darkness rather than in light. We again go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where God says that we are of light, and we are of day, and not of darkness, and not of unbelief. And just a couple other typologies here. But let's go over here. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Every time I say that, Deuteronomy chapter 7, I say 1, 2, 3. You know, it's like 1 through 3. You know, and can they understand when I'm saying 1 through 3 rather than 1, 2, 3? Anyhow. Deuteronomy chapter 7, 1 through 3. Here, when the Lord God shall bring thee, Israel, into the land whither thou goest, to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee. Notice, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, that when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them. Notice, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not give unto his son, and nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, the Lord, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled, look at there, against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But this ye shall deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire, for they are a holy people. And he goes on. Notice here, in this revelation of God, God's going to delinquish them. He's going to burn them. He's going to burn them and kindle rather than Israel, as long as Israel walks faithfully. By the way, In Isaiah chapter 4 there's a passage that goes on there where Israel is walking in unbelief, and I'm sorry, did I say Isaiah 4? I'm sorry, I meant Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy 4:24, where the Lord is shown to be a consuming fire. You know, this very manifestation of himself. In all his glory, he is a consuming fire. Again, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Again, it tells us that the Lord there is defined, God himself, God Almighty, is a consuming fire. Brethren, can you think of anything today, anything going on today where we have a very similitude of that consuming fire of the Lord? Even as, of course, in Genesis chapter 1 through 12, we've got the issues that the Lord has given all the nations of the world. We've got four divine institutions that God has set up for the orderly demise of all the nations of the earth. And we've got marriage. You know, we've got the creation, of course, of man and woman, and we've got marriage, and we've got family, and we've got nationalism, and then, of course, the thing that fights against that, internationalism. And then, of course, we have the law there. We have certain rules and orders that all the nations are to keep themselves ruled under. You got marriage, family. Excuse me a minute. Nationalism, and of course, there we have that issue of human government. In this dispensation, the Lord sets aside in Romans chapter 13 to help us understand that these human governments, even in this dispensation, are set there for the protection of the people and not for the ruin of them, and yet that is an interdispensational manifestation of God's orders to keep rule on the earth. And of course, Israel was to, in the dispensation of time past here, Israel was supposed to be that one nation that had God so close to them and lived under His rules and judgments and ordinances and such to show what a blessing it was to live under that closeness of the law of the Lord. So here, today, even in this dispensation, we have a typology of this difference between this fire, this consuming fire of the Lord, and also the darkness and light of those that believe in the things of the Lord. You know, today it's the people. The people are those that become saved as they come to Lord faithfully through His Word. And as the people that are living in the nation, as you come to have a majority of the people in the nation come to live under the grace of the Lord in this dispensation, of course, it's by the vote and by the coming together of those people within the nation that the nation can show the very blessedness of living under faithfulness to the things of the Lord. God is not blessing a nation today or blessing particular nations, but He does bless the people within the nation. So today, in what we have so manifestly going on in the world today, we've got this thing we call the Iraqi War, right? And so as we look at the war, of course, the United States living under some of the United States, I guess, and most certainly the United States as compared to so many of the other nations of the world, has many things that show forth the blessings of following the things of the Lord. So you've got the nation of the United States going out within all the other nations of the world and manifesting the judgment against lawlessness and total corruption within nations. And so as we go up against the nations of the world and we go over there and we go over to Iraq and we see the things that are going on over there in Iraq, what's the nation doing over there today? You see those bombs. You know, we talk about the clear, brilliant light of the Lord, and the closest manifestation that we have of that today, in the world today, of course, would be the bomb. You know, you look at that thing, and when the bomb hits, there's such a flash of light that you can hardly even look at the television. I mean, it's so bright. And of course, the atom bomb, even brighter than that, you can't look at them without having some, you know, clear or shaded goggles on and other things such as that. But here, this light and this fire and this judgment that the Lord has given to nations to carry out within the other nations, to carry on within the world. Here we have a more or less a typology of that fiery judgment that the Lord will one day have on all the earth. On all the earth, we have this representation of that. Yet I believe the light and glory of the Lord Himself is going to be ever so much more light and ever so much more fierce. God is a consuming fire. We talk about, you know, we're looking at this and we see how the cloud and the darkness was to be light to Israel and yet darkness to Egypt. We got a typology of that too today, you know. Our armed services over there today, they wear those goggles, that night vision over there, right? And as they're wearing the night goggles, they can see within the dark, you know, at night, in darkness. They can see in darkness. And of course, Iraq, you know, that darkness is a judgment upon them. They can't see in the darkness. They have no idea what's going on, and yet we can use that very darkness that they're within this national system down here, we can use that darkness because we can see in it, and thereby even more surely represent judgment against corruption within these earthly nations today. Just a little added typology. Brethren, I told you before, as you become more and more enlightened by the Lord and the very life of the Lord that He promises to dwell in you as His Word dwells in you, more and more as this becomes true for you, you're going to find that as you start looking at the things going on around you today, you are more and more going to be able to associate them with the light of the Scriptures and the truth of the Scriptures. And these are just this thing that I've just given you here, this similitude, you know, in essence is what it is, outside of the scriptures, yet we could use it, we can describe it in similitude up against the very word and truth of the Lord and the effectual working of God's word within us. We can do that. And you will more and more see how, as you walk in life, as you become more enlightened by the things of the Lord, you're going to more and more effectually measure those things all around you according to the truth of the word of the Lord. And now today, in this dispensation, even more so dispensationally. So here again, as we go on with this revelation that the Lord is giving to the nation Israel, in measured steps, as he gives it to the nation Israel, in measured revelation of himself. Deuteronomy chapter 7, I don't know why I lost that page there. Deuteronomy chapter 7, God's reveals to the nation Israel how he's going to use them to judge all those other nations. And so what happens? The nation Israel looks on and they said, how are we going to do this? Look over here. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 17 through 19. 17 through 19. If thou say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I, Israel, dispose of them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them. But thou shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, and great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord brought thee out. So in like manner, brethren, shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. You see, the Lord thy God, he is amongst you, right? He is amongst that nation. So look here. God, again, is going to show forth his very light, both in judgment to the unbelievers and in blessing to that nation as he becomes the one to work through that nation. Amen? Amen. Brethren, God is going to protect that nation if they follow faithfully in the things of him. By the way, I just remind you that as we've been looking through these studies here, I remind you of the ceremonies that the Lord is giving to that nation. And one of the ceremonies that the Lord gave that nation was that they would have this celebration of Passover and unleavened bread. And then that he promised them, he told the nation to hold his words and to keep these things before their eyes, that they would remember the things that he did to the nation Egypt, that he would remember the judgments that the Lord put on that nation for them, and that as they held those things clearly in their focus, in their attention, on their minds, and in their thoughts, as they walk through the world, they would be reminded of this, and it would help. It would add to the strength of their walk in the Lord, brethren. In our studies here through this Old Testament survey, as we come through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, I remind you that Genesis is the genealogy of all mankind, and of course how man had fallen. And then you have, in Exodus, you have the people leaving the things of the world and coming into the Lord and coming to find the things of the Lord and to be blessed by the Lord. Leviticus, you have the issues of how the worship was going to be performed through that nation, Israel, through to the Lord, their worship and their fellowship with the Lord. And of course, the Numbers, the growth, the result of their faithfulness of the things of the Lord, and their travelings, and their walk, and their service in the Lord, if they were to continue faithfully. We've got that issue in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And I would suggest to you that you keep those issues up before your face as we study through these books, so that you can kind of transform your learning and your understanding of the things that these books have for you to learn. So you've got this issue that the Lord was going to bless that nation, Israel, with that fire that was his. But we know also, of course, that the Lord had promised that he was going to curse that nation for unbelief, according to the things that he was showing them. And again, over here, in Deuteronomy, go over here to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Here's an issue where the Lord was going to curse even the nation Israel, should they not. He's promising to curse them. He's promising to judge them with his fire if they should walk in the things of unbelief, according to his revelation to them. Deuteronomy chapter 5, from the beginning, if you got a good authorized King James Bible, here I have a Scofield authorized King James Bible, chapter 5, so often in the chapters they're head off with a little commentary from the author of the print here that helps guide you through what's going on in the chapter. And so here in chapter 5 it says the new generation is taught the Mosaic covenant. So here Moses is going to remind Israel of the covenant that God made with them. And he's going to remind them. He's going to manifest God before their eyes again as he gives them the Ten Commandments. Chapter 5, verse 7 through 21, he's going to give them those Ten Commandments again, and he's going to again show them how as they would walk faithfully to those things, they could be blessed, but if they were to walk against those things, they would be cursed. So, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 23 through 29. Here Moses, the words of the Lord, verse 22, spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone, and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, and that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes, and your elders, and ye said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. And we have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. God can walk and talk with men, and men will live. Right? Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore. Then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God, speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Again, the Lord here and Moses are just confirming the things that he was showing him, and as we were going over that, those things we were looking at in Exodus chapter 19 and 20, the Lord here, again, a repetition, one of the meanings of learning, a repetition for that nation, and even, of course, for the new generation, as they were promised these blessings and cursings forever. Of course, here, chastisement for the nation Israel. Let's look at an issue. Let's look at an experience to be chastised for their unbelief, Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. Here Moses, of course, as the nation Israel is getting all the promises and all the ordinances, both for the nation and for the priesthood. There comes a time when God comes down and he consumes all the flesh of their sacrifice and their burnt offering unto the Lord. And as the people are praying to the Lord and the Lord is answering them through Moses and the priest, and as things are going in the right way, all of a sudden, look at this unbelief here. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, These are sons of the very, those that were to be the very priests themselves, took either of them, his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Look at there. If you want to know what strange fire is, the verse tells you itself. It tells you what the strange fire is. It tells you that the strange fire is that which the Lord commanded them not. Just a moment, please. Just to take care of a little bit more extracurricular material there. And which the Lord commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And there you see, of course, an issue, a representation of how those people of that nation were going to be chastised by the fire. The fire, again, could be a blessing for that nation, or it could be a judgment or a chastisement for those for that nation. Again, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13. Just to give you some representations of these similitudes that the Lord is giving Moses that we can use in the scriptures as long as we use them scripturally. Isaiah chapter 10? Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13. They're not as tricky as they think they are. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13. Bring no more vain incense. No more vain oblations. That word vain, look it up in your dictionary. It means worthless, useless, good for nothing. Bring no more vain oblations, incense and an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am very ware to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Israel had come about in the manner of time, that whole nation had come about to do the very things that those sons of Aaron did just previously. The whole nation had come about to do these things. Verse 22 and 25. Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Verse 23, thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Every one loveth gifts and follow after rewards, knowing that the law and ordinances that God had given unto that nation Israel, he had told them that the gifts blind the eyes. You know, brethren, even today, within the dispensation of the grace of God, when our brethren are so much glorying, both you and me, you know, and we go back to them with the same, we need to be careful of our glorying and praise of the things that they're doing and the things that we're doing. We need to be wary because so often, as I'm sure you have become well aware, they can be using those things under false pretenses. They can be using those things to gain a fellowship and a union into that which they have yet to share with you that is not according to the righteousness and all that the Lord is doing, even in the dispensation of the grace of God. We need to be wary of gifts and presents and those things. Here, continue on, verse 24. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries, and avenge me of my enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee. Look here. God is going to turn his hand, he's going to turn his fire, he's going to turn his judgment upon that nation, and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin. God is talking about that nation. You know, God is, as we have seen previously, he's promised to reserve that nation, to preserve that nation through all of time because it's something that he's promised to do with his covenant with them. And so he's going to take the dross. He's going to take that which is worthless, the vain and the vanity out of that nation. He's going to take out the dross, you know, the dross, that part of a welding process that's good for nothing. The part of the welding processes that burn out the impurities out of the metal when you weld, that the dross, it just chips off and it's good for nothing. It's slag. You throw it in the garbage. It's not good for anything. I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Again, here's that other issue of that judgment that's going to be done to that nation. Verse 27, 28-31. Zion shall be redeemed with judgments, and her converts with righteousness, and the destructions of the transgressors and the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be, there it is, brethren, consumed. God is a consuming fire within that nation. The dross is going to be consumed, for they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. The oaks, you know. So we're going to be looking at this a little bit later in our studies, how God can use the trees and the life of the trees. The trees and the roots of the trees and all of that. How the Lord can use those things for another similitude, both of believers and unbelievers in the things of the Lord. Brethren, by the way, I remind you, as we've been getting some brethren or some people in the Lord here, perhaps I hope those that are saved, some people have been trying to block my teaching and am trying to interfere with the things I have for you. They've been trying to interfere with PMs and that. I hope you know that as they do that toward you, you can simply block them and they'll be consumed in darkness. you won't have to worry about them, okay? Notice, for ye, verse 30, ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water, and strong, and the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it, look at here, God is going to have his fire work within that nation, the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. We're going to see how the cloud and the glory of the Lord that's contained in that cloud could be a water and a quenching water and a blessing rain and a coolness for that the believers within that nation. Finally, God's going to use that. We're talking about the chastisement of Israel here. This fire, this consuming fire of the Lord toward that nation, toward that covenant nation, we're going to see here that it can be a refinement to and through that nation. It can be a refinement. It can take out the dross and it can refine that which is left, that with faithful which is left. Let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. Again, brother, I remind you, the reason we're using these things is to help you come to learn and understand how it is that you can follow these typologies, and even though they're typologies, even though they're similitudes, if you follow them faithfully as the Lord describes them, you can do that with all absolute standing and faithful standing in the things of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. Talking about it says here under the author of the Schofield King James Bible, it says a resume, result of the Gentile invasion under the beast. And it says, and it shall come to pass that in all the lands that the Lord, two parts thereof shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein, and I will bring the third part. Look here, talk about the nation Israel. Remind you of the third divisions of the nation Israel, even in the book of Revelations, doesn't it? Notice, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined. You see there, brethren? I was using that issue of the welder's fire. We see the fire of the melting pot fire. Here I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. He's going to refine them in the refiner's pot. Chapter 12, verses 4 through 9. Zechariah 12, 4 through 9. In that day, you know, in the day of the Lord's deliverance. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength, and the Lord of hosts their God. And in that day will I make the governors of Judah like an heart of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheath. Notice, and they, Israel, shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem, and the Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, and the glory of the house of David, and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, do not magnify themselves against Judah. And in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, and as the angel of the Lord before them. Brethren, as we started out this study, I remind you, in Exodus chapter 19, we showed how that was the in the fire and in the cloud. It was the angel of the Lord that went before them and after them, for blessing and for cursing. And here, again, another similitude, dear brethren, that in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them, that they shall be as David. A feeble man shall be as David. You remember King David. He was the king of that nation that went forth with sword and with fire and with the righteousness of God in his soul and in his spirit, as he went out and fought the things of the Lord. And of course the Lord fought for him. And notice it says, and the house of David, even Judah in Jerusalem, shall be as God. Another similitude, right? David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. You see that? I mean, it's pretty clear, isn't it? It gets to be clear in all the truth that the Lord has revealed unto us. Again, finally, Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. That nation is going to show forth the very glory that all the way back here in the beginning, in the book of Exodus, the Lord is showing him their glory, and he's promising them that his glory will be shown forth through them. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 3. This is 1 through 3. Not 1, 2, 3. 1 through 3. But the same. A similitude. Here. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. He's speaking to Israel. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Again, there's that issue of the darkness. The darkness shall cover the earth because of their unbelief, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles, the other nations of the world, under the dispensation of the gospel of the circumcision, the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. You see that, brethren? And verse 10, I love this. Verse 10, in that dispensation, Gentiles don't have all the blessing that God's going to give Israel, but we know most certainly that the blessings that the nations are to receive are most certainly going to be all that they're going to need. And the son, verse 10, and the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their king shall minister unto thee, Israel. For in my wrath I had smote thee, but in my favor have I mercy on thee. And of course, you know, again, the fire that the Lord will use through that nation unto those that do not serve them and honor them as the Lord has set his glory on them. Verse 12, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Brethren, let's go back to Exodus chapter 19 and take a look again at that issue of blessing and cursing, light and darkness, angel of God going before them and after them. And the Lord, Exodus 19, 21, 22, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. 19 and 20, Exodus 14, 19 and 20, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their faces and stood behind them, and it became between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness unto them, but it gave light by night to these, so the one came not near the other all the night. And brethren, throughout history, from the very beginning, God has divided his world, has divided his creation, has divided the people in the creation between believers and unbelievers. Father, again, we thank you, and we thank you so wondrously for all these blessings that we have today, being saved by grace without the works of the law, and that you have given us the full revelation of yourself now, that we can carry with us everywhere we go, we can measure all things by it, and we can use it, and as we believe in it, it effectually works in us, so that even today we can use the things we look at today in our world, we can use so many of those similitudes, even those that you had given Moses so long ago. We have record of him, we have the truth of him, we have the light of him, and we can use those similitudes to give us understanding of the things that are even going on today in our world, even under a different dispensation. And Father, of course, more than anything, we thank you and praise you for the grace of God that the Lord Jesus Christ, that had no sin, died for us, that we might have the life of God in us, that the glory of God might be shown through us in this dispensation, on out through eternity in the heavenly kingdom. Father, we praise and thank you for all this in Christ's name. Amen.